Federal immigration enforcement efforts took place in various communities across North Carolina, including the Triangle and Charlotte this week. It led to many, in fact, thousands of students missing class in school districts across the state and businesses shutting their doors. Ileana Centillion is the executive director of Brava NC, and she joins us now. Ileana, how are you?
Good. Great to be here with you, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Thanks you for joining us. So as things stand right now, it looks like that Operation Charlotte's Web has ended. However, it doesn't look like all ICE agents will be leaving the state. Based on what you understand, where do things stand right now?
I mean, honestly, I just don't feel like we can believe anything we hear. We heard the first time when, ICE came here that they were only going to be in Raleigh, but then we saw them in Durham. So I'm from the Triangle. I just, based on that precedent and just the way that they've been moving, I don't necessarily believe that that's the case. I think, like you mentioned, they might not leave entirely. They probably will decrease capacity, but honestly, I don't believe it.
So in terms of what you've heard from residents this week, what are some of the most blatant examples of disabuse or misabuse, as you would say?
The emotional damage that this is causing on all children, not just Latino children. Like you were saying, there were like 19,000 students in Wake County who stayed home yesterday. That's 19,000 kids who did not sit at school, who did not eat lunch with their best friends. And when you think about the impact of, them missing school, but also in the context of, being a child, like, what do you say to your white kid when they come home and they're like, hey, my friend Jose didn't come from school? How as a parent do you explain to your child that Jose is worried that his parents are going to be taken and that, he can't go to the doctor, he can't go to the grocery store, and he's stuck at home? Like, I just can't fathom how as a parent and as a person with moral and values can have that conversation with children. So I think this is affecting everyone. I feel like we're feeling the most impact with the economic aspect of it. Undocumented immigrants paid $692 million in North Carolina and local taxes in 2022. So we're seeing the emotional damage that this ICE operations are having, not just in our students, but in everyone who's in our state, but then also that layer of the economic impact that this is causing to our state.
Have you talked to business leaders who are afraid to open their doors?
Yes, we had a press conference this morning. It's on live stream at Progress NC on YouTube. And we had three business owners with us this morning saying that their workers are not showing up. We had a nail technician from Durham who is not filling in her appointments. So we're seeing businesses either closing, scaling down. And definitely, when you think about the overall impact of the economy, people are not purchasing things. People are not going out and consuming items. So the impact that this is having, again, on the economy, it will definitely be felt.
How do people rebound from this emotionally? And is it just a simple process of picking up your things and going back to school or work? Or is there long-term trauma from this?
I think there's definitely long-term trauma, Jeff, but then I also feel like as a person who has been doing this work out in the streets in the past week or so, there's that trauma, but in my opinion, there's also a lot of hope. I've seen teachers come together to make sure to go to neighborhoods where they knew their students lived, to scout the neighborhood to make sure that ICE was not around. I've seen community members gather at bus stops in heavily populated Latino communities to make sure that the children are able to go to school and get back home safely. And to me, even though we are in this horrible situation and we're seeing the damaging impact of what ICE is doing in our state, I'm also seeing a lot of opportunities, a lot of light, a lot of love and community that is being built from this. So I'm just really excited to see what we build from this disastrous situation that we're in.
What types of positive things have you seen from communities this week?
I mean, like I was telling you, just educators, social workers coming together, going to neighborhoods, making sure the kids are okay. I've seen college students, a lot of NC State students, in the Triangle have families in rural areas. And when you think about mixed status families, yes, you know, the college student might have been born here. They're fully American citizens or documented, but their parents might have TPS. Their parents might be naturalized citizens or completely undocumented. So we're seeing a lot of youth being engaged and activated around this, wanting to do more for their communities. A lot of them willing to go to rural areas and make sure that, you know, everything's okay. Right now, we're, you know, very fortunate. I live in Raleigh, and there's so many organizations doing ICE verification workshops. There's a lot of food distribution going on right now. But my concern always lies with the rural communities that don't have that infrastructure and support. So I'm excited to collaborate and network within the rural areas in North Carolina to make sure that hope is not missing in these areas, and that folks know that no matter where they are, there's people like me and hundreds of others who are willing to support them.
There have been people arrested this week, in fact, thousands in Charlotte, who were, in fact, legal residents of the United States. One prominent person said that he voted for Donald Trump, yet had the windows of his truck smashed out. And then when he was released by ICE agents, the people who took him under custody did not give him his truck keys back. So have you heard from people who are potentially seeking legal action because they were arrested even though they were American citizens?
I would hope that people are seeking legal action, but I can tell you also from my personal experience, I'm a naturalized citizen, and I had to have a conversation with my daughter over the weekend because she was concerned about my well-being. So I'm carrying my passport with me. You know, there's people who have TPS, there's people, I feel like just even though they're saying that they're cracking down on people who commit crimes, I feel like the impact and the fear and the uncertainty is felt all across. I should not have to be worried about going out of my house and going to the grocery store and just making sure that I have my passport in case I'm stopped by ICE. So I hope that, you know, organizations like ACLU and all of these entities do something to make sure that all of the you know, misconduct and aggravating situations are being documented, and there's something we can do about it.
Ileana Centillion joining us here today, the executive director of Brava NC. Ileana, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it. I know it's been a very adventurous week, a lot of stress, certainly, and hope that you have a wonderful holiday despite it all. Take care.
Thank you, too, Jeff.